Please appreciate that. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to continue the lesson that we started teaching last Thursday, Rooted in Christ's Love. Rooted in Christ's Love, part 2. And I want to read the verses that we started with last week and kind of do an overview and a review of what we talked about, and then get into our new material, Rooted in Christ's Love. And we're going to learn today how to implement that in our lives. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Father, would you bless the reading of thy word? Would you encourage our hearts by the teaching of thy word? I pray, God, that you would help me to be able to say these things that are necessary. Lord, encourage us in thy love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So last time we were together, we were talking about this aspect of God's love, and we defined what God's love was. There it's defined for us in verses 7 through 8, but we understand that God's nature is love. It is his very nature of who he is, and God is simply the definition of love. He really is in himself. He's not defined by love. God is not loving because he does loving acts. God does loving acts because he is love. He is love. He is defined by it. We found last week that love originated with God. It was not obtained by him. He is God. It is the structure of his being. He is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Notice, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. He is the originator of this love relationship, amen, that we have. He is the originator of it. Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. It's not us who love God and then he in turn started loving us. It's the opposite. God loved us first and then we loved him in return. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. So we all long to know we are loved. We want to know, be loved by our family members, our friends, and our family. And we really want to know that God loves us as well. He is the author of it. We know that God orchestrated, love is orchestrated by God. We find that also in verse number 7. Now, when we show forth godly love, it is not because our hearts are good or because we're able to muster up that love we learned last week, but godly love only comes through God's Spirit at work in us. And so if we want to have godly love, the Holy Spirit has to work that in us. He has to work that in us. That is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the very first thing. It's love. That is his fruit. And we want that. We want that fruit in our lives. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So love is orchestrated by God, we found out. And then the love of God is displayed. It's displayed through his sacrifice that he did for you and for me. That showed us his love. And we understood last week, we talked about that word manifest. It means to make something known. God made his love known to us. He manifested in the fact that he died for our sins. And so God is love. God displayed his love by sacrificially giving of himself. And he wants us to love as he loves. That's what he wants us to do. We read in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Man, that's a tall order for us husbands to do, amen, to love our wives like Christ loved the church. But that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to love our spouses like he loves the church. And we'll be trying to obtain that forever, right? Trying to do that because that's a tall thing. He really loves us. He died for us. His love is also faithful. We find that in verse number 10. His love is faithful. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. His love is faithful. And so the faithfulness of his love is truly amazing. And we read in Romans chapter 8 that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Amen. And a whole list of things that Paul talks about, that nothing can separate us from that that love. And we talked about last week that we could pillow our heads at night, you know, confident that God loves us and we know that we are in his care and his love. And so now we go into new material. We find, well, how do we develop this love? How do we develop this love that God has in our lives? Look at verse number 11 one more time. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So now we're going to try to apply this love and express the love that Jesus did for us in our lives with others. So understanding God's love for us is the starting place. How do we develop this love in us? How do we develop that same love? Well, letter A, we must love him. We must love him. Would you look at Mark chapter number 12, please? Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 29 through 30. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 and 30. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." How many feel they can accomplish that? How many feel like they fall short of doing that? Everybody's hand should be up. Because guess what? You actually will never be able to do that. On this side of heaven, you will never be able to do it. But our goal is to try to accomplish that, to love him with everything that we have. And as we'll learn on Sunday, we'll use this verse to, as this man thought that he could inherit eternal life by doing this commandment. And Jesus was pointing out that, you can try if you want. That's an option for you to try to inherit eternal life by doing this commandment, but you will fall short. And so we must love him. We must love him. God develops his love in us as we spend time seeking him and walking with him. That's how we're going to get his love, you know, and that's how we're going to be able to share that with others. And when we open his love letter, like I said before, the Bible, and read his word, he speaks love to us. When we pray to him, proclaiming our love to him, we become more rooted in his love. And he develops his love in our hearts when we read his word. And so we must also love one another. Love one another. Look at Mark 12, verse 31. So we must love him. We must love one another. Mark 12, verse number 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. He lays it out for him. This is what you need to do. So it is because God loves us that we can love one another. You know, if God didn't love us, how in the world are we going to love each other with godly love? And so we're supposed to take the love that God shows towards us, and then we're supposed to give that to other people. It's supposed to shine in other people. And more and more, we need to get better at that, shining the love of the Lord, and let other people see that. And so when we walk in the knowledge and presence of his love, that love becomes available in us. It's got to develop, right? You know, as we walk with the Lord, then that love becomes available to use. When we ask him for his love for others, he fills us with his love, and then he teaches us to give it to other people. So we should be asking God to fill us with his love so we can give that to other people. We can share that love with others. Now, when we feel bitterness in our hearts toward a spouse, a child, one of our children, a friend, or anyone else, we can be assured that we are not walking in Christ's love. If you're feeling bitterness towards someone, that's not Christ's love, because Jesus didn't walk around with bitterness in his heart. And if anybody could maybe have an excuse, you know, to be bitter against people, his own subjects that he created, treating him terribly, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had no bitterness in him. And so the person to whom we feel bitter may have wounded us deeply. And that is where Christ's love will come in. When someone has wounded you deeply, they've done some deep scars in your life. They did this to you when you were a teenager, or when you're a child, or whenever you've been hurt. This is the time to extend that love to them, that forgiveness to them. That's when we want to exercise this love. Maybe you know someone who's been bitter toward you. How do we show love to them, class? I'll open this up to you for a moment. How can we show love to someone who's done terrible things to us, and they've caused us to be bitter? How can we show love to them? Anybody? A little bit louder, please. Kill them with kindness. Okay. What else? Pray for them. Good. Be kind to them. Kill them with kindness, if you want to say. Pray for them, brother. Show them Jesus. Amen. Share with them Jesus. That's good. That's a good way to, you know, to be kind to them, is to show them Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Amen. Oh, that's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the way we show love to them. Amen. Of course, those tracks of water bottles, and he also had blankets as well. I know during the wintertime he was giving out blankets to the homeless with those water bottles and the tracks. And so that is something we can do, you know, to show the love of the Lord. And no, they weren't bitter towards you or mean or anything, but you still were able to show the love of Christ. And that's what it's all about. Would you look at Matthew chapter 5? Matthew 5, please. The Bible's going to help us deal with this thing of having bitterness towards someone, how to handle that situation. Matthew 5 and verse number 23. Bible tells us, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. God says, don't bring offerings to the altar until you reconcile with other people. Reconcile with your fellow brother before you go and try to, bless the Lord, you know. Why don't you take care of your relationship issues first, and then your gift will still be waiting there. Amen. You notice the gift stays there. And then once you come back, you go ahead and give that, offer that up as an offering to the Lord. Oh, God wants us to have reconciliation. We may not even know our offense that has caused our brother to be bitter against us. But God admonishes us, what, to make it right with our brother. We're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, when we know someone has something against us, God placed the burden of reconciliation on our shoulders. It is our responsibility to go to that brother and make it right. If God's burdening you about that, then you go to that person and make it right. What could you say? Brother, can we pray together? Can we pray together? That'd be an opportunity to be able to pray with them. Maybe they'll open up and say, you know, I'll pray with you, but I got to get some. I got, what do they call that? Something to pick at you? What is it? A bone to pick, yeah. I got a bone to pick at you, brother, before we pray. Who knows? But I may have the opportunity. You can go to them and say, do we need to talk about something? You know, what you don't want to do is what the school kids do at school. They go, you got a problem with me? You don't want to do that. That's never going to solve anything. You got a problem? What you looking at? How is that going to solve anything with that? So that's going to cause a fight. It's going to cause more problems. But do we need to talk about something? How about I'm sorry I hurt you? Oh, you hurt me? Yeah, let's talk about it. How about please forgive me? These things are hard to say, aren't they, huh? Well, someone's, you got some friction between you. But as you seek reconciliation, you may find your relationship is completely restored. You may find that. You may find that your relationship may never be the same again. But you did what was right. When we went to that person and we tried to reconcile that relationship, you tried to restore that relationship, you did what you thought was right and what the Lord would want you to do. We cannot make someone love us. If there's friction there and you've got it off your chest and you said, you know what, I tried to make this right, you can't make them love you. You really can't do that. But you can do the right thing. You can try to be right with every Christian, loving them through Christ. And that is how we show the love of God to this world. And it starts right here in this church. There was a woman who was asking her friend to help her prepare a surprise evening for her husband. She said, would you come over and help me clean the house? And we're going to clean the floor really good. We're going to make everything look real nice. We're going to make a nice meal for my husband. And excuse me. And we're going to shine this floor. We're going to get everything looking good. It's going to smell nice. We're going to get the candles lit. Or we're going to make it so nice for him. Well, that husband, he came home early, unexpectedly. And so he walked across that sparkling floor with his muddy boots. And the friend said, oh, look at all that mud. She thought the whole evening was ruined. The wife quietly replied, yes, his boots bring the mud in, but they bring him too. See, God's love through us sees past the mud, sees past our flaws, past the shortcomings and the problems. It allows us to love others for who they are rather than what we would wish them to be, what we wish them to be a certain thing. No, love looks past all that. Notice a key verse in verse number 11. Yes. For verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, notice, we ought also to love one another. We ought to. That word ought means owe that which is due. We owe that person to love them. God says we ought to love one another. We cannot separate loving God from loving others. Some people want to do that. I love God, but I sure hate my friends and family. My family's terrible. And I hate them all, and I hate my friends, and I hate my neighbors, but I love God. You can't. You can't reconcile those two. You've got to, if you love God, you've got to love everyone else. I mean, the best you can. What you notice, number C, we must express his love. We must express his love. Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. We must express his love. How many love Thursday nights? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Me too. Amen. Romans chapter number 1. Verse number 14. We'll notice that how we express Christ's love. This is how we do it. Verse number 14 of chapter 1. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Really what Paul has here is he's got a real big boldness to be able to preach the gospel. And really, when he does arrive at Rome, it won't be in the way that he wants it to be. In fact, when he comes to Rome, he will be in chains. He will be imprisoned. But his desire, notice what his desire was, to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. If we truly love someone, we will not withhold the gospel from them. If you really love somebody, you will do your best to get the gospel to them, to share the good news to them. Give them a track and do your best to tell them about Jesus if they're not saved, if you love them. Do we really love them? Because this is the ultimate expression of love, is telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and they can get saved. Oh, that's how we show our love. Now, we cannot make the decision for them to accept Christ. We can't do that. But we have the obligation to go and share the love of God with them. So love does require that we share the gospel with people. And if you have not done that with your family, we need to work on that. Amen? We can think of somebody in our family that's not saved. Man, we need to do our best to try to get them the gospel if they're not saved. Even if it's just for a short period of time, if you're just trying to give them a gospel tract and say, read this, that's something. Or send them a graphic on the computer, brother, you know, or something. Send them something or tell them about Jesus. Christ's love empowers us to step beyond our feelings of fear and intimidation, enables us to share the gospel. Now, recently we had an experience here, a couple soul winners. They ran across somebody that was really irate with our soul winners. And occasionally that's going to happen. But let me tell you something. We have got to get over that fear of intimidation and that fear of that happening again. Because we've got to share the love of God with people. If there's too many people that are dying and going to hell for us to get discouraged like that, we can't get discouraged. Amen. There's too many people out there that need the Lord. And I know what it's like. I have been yelled at. Amen. But I pick it up the next time and go back out and do it again. Missionary to India, Amy Carmichael, famously said, "You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving." And so, also, our love empowers us to give. Amen. It should empower you to give to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would want you to do. Many people give without loving. You know, you have company parties, you know, and they give you gifts at the party. Do you think they do that because they love you? You know, well, we're going to give you a bonus because I just love you. No, there's another reason for that. They want to do self-exaltation. They're promoting themselves, or they're just trying to keep you happy so you will not leave. You know, if they keep employees happy, it's possible that you'll stick around for a little bit. They're not doing it because they love you, despite what you might be. Unless it's a really small company, a mom and pop, maybe they love you. But most companies are not doing things for that reason. But when you love, you give. Giving is a part of loving. God gave everything to us. He gave us his son. He gave everything. We express our love through giving our time and our talents and through sacrificial giving of our finances and even our personal comfort. We could give that up in order to, you know, to give to God's kingdom. Our giving is often expressed through our finances. Money is so dear to us, isn't it? We hold it dear. It's for most of us, you know, it's something we hold on tight to, you know, our finances. But love gives of their finances. And we'll have an opportunity to do that here soon as we'll have our meeting here to talk about our mortgage and trying to tackle that thing. And I tell you, if we love, amen, we'll give. And we'll give you an opportunity to express that through paying down this mortgage. Maybe we can own this property and get the pink slip if God would allow us to do that. But you'll have an opportunity to express that, that's for sure. So when we give in the offering as an expression of love to God, we're saying, "Lord, I give myself. I give myself as an expression of my love to you. I give because you are God. You are love. You manifested your love by giving to us, and now I'm going to give back to you." It's a sign of love when we give in those offerings. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, please. Paul understood this idea really well, this thing of giving. Second Corinthians chapter number 8. We'll look at a couple of passages here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. You go there. I want to read a verse before that. I want to read Ephesians chapter number 1. Just to kind of set the stage here, how much God loves us. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, he loves us. Amen. Before the foundations of the world, amen, he had a salvation plan in place that you and I could go to heaven one day. He loves us. And so, in return, we should show our love and gratitude towards him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and verse number 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. That's what he's talking about. And Paul's talking about in this passage of Scripture, he's talking about financial giving. He's using the Macedonian Christians as an example to the Corinthians. He's saying that they were poor, but even though they were poor, they gave out of an abundance because they loved God. They gave liberally. This proved their sincerity of their love. That's what it says. Now look at verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He ties that in together, the giving financially and the gift that Jesus gave to us. Though he was rich, he became poor for our sakes so that we could be rich in heavenly riches. So the Macedonian Christians' giving was an overflowing of the love of Christ in them. You see, finances won't be a barrier to you. It won't be a, you could talk about it, it wouldn't bother you, amen? Some preachers have a hard time talking about finances. I don't care, amen? I think it's something we should talk about. It's in the Bible. But understand, they were giving of an overflow of their love to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they were giving. I mean, they couldn't give what they were giving. It was an amazing thing. Study it out, what the Macedonian Christians did. They gave of their poverty. He filled them, those Macedonian Christians, with the same giving love that of who he was. Amen. The same love that he has, Jesus. He willingly gave all his riches and became poor for us. They joyfully gave out of their poverty because they realized what Jesus had did for them. And when we realize that, oh, we'll give. We'll give. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, please. Second Corinthians 9. Look at verse number 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Isn't that a good verse? You know, if you throw a lot of seed out there, you get a good harvest. Amen. If you don't throw a little bit of seed out there, you're going to get a small harvest. God's saying, you give a little, well, maybe you'll get a little. But if you sow a lot, God's going to bless you with a lot. That's just how God works. Verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Oh, my goodness, if we're going to be all, I don't want to give, he said, keep it to yourself. We want you to give of a cheerful heart. That word cheerful means hilarious. It's interesting, huh? To be hilarious while you give. I mean, it's like a belly laugh when you give. You should be like so excited about giving. Woohoo! Now, we're not going to laugh when we give and be all belly laughing. I've never done it. But your spirit should have that. Like, I'm so excited to give. Because, my goodness, God's done so much for me. And I just want to give back a little bit. So love is who God is. He's not separate from love. Amen. He's not separate from love. And true agape love is not separate from him. It originated in him, and he orchestrates it in us. That's what he wants us to do. God displayed his love through Christ. He displayed it through his sacrificial giving of his only begotten Son. The love of Christ does not spring from leftovers. Amen. It's abundant. He gave everything he had. He gave himself. And so is that total giving that Jesus did for us proves to us, without a shadow of a doubt, that he loves us. He loves us. That's what we sang about today. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. It lifted you out of that miry clay. It lifted you out of that place that you were in your life before you got saved. Love did that. Jesus did that. He loves us. God develops his love in us as we plant our roots deeply in him. You want his love? Get planted deep. Get planted deep. So as his Spirit produces the fruit of love in us, we begin to give out of his love. How many want that? How many want more love in their life, you know, of God's love, and be able to give that out to other people sacrificially through faith? He continually draws our attention to that love in his word. And we've just learned exactly what that love is, what it does, and his desire to develop that love in us. He wants to do that. Each and every one of us, he wants to develop his love in us. Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Amen. And he wants to develop that in us so that we can go and reach our community and our family, amen, and our friends with that same love. And so we're going to pray, and I'm going to have a question for you after we pray. Father, we love you so much. We're thankful for the opportunity to be here, and thankful for the opportunity to learn about your love and how we can implement that love in our life. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to remember your love for us, and I think that'll inspire us to love in return. We love you so much, in Jesus' name, amen.